We're doing Lashon Taran. We're in the middle of a very sticky subject. Hopefully we'll get it done today, but I don't know. We'll see. The Ran had tackled the question, the Talmud says, if a person sees that Yisurin, afflictions, are headed his way, he should check himself out. If he's checked himself out, and he's done tshuva, and he looks and he can't find anything he did wrong that's deserving of this suffering, then he should assume it's because of Bitul Torah, that he wasted time that he could have spent learning Torah. And let's say even on that front he can't figure out what God wants of him, he's taking the best advantage of his time, then he should know this is what's called Yisurin Shel Ahava. There's this concept that even one who is loved by Hashem suffers. So many ask, wait, why? Why would Hashem allow someone that he loves to suffer? If it's not as a punishment for having done something wrong, then why in fact would this person suffer? And so the Ran is about to take us on a tour, a ride of intellectual, philosophical thought. And he is taking us, so to speak, on a free-for-all. He's taking us in his interpretation. It's not something he has on tradition. He says, this is what I've come up with. This is what I think is going on here. V'ani omer, and I think, says the Ran, שאיף שאל איזה צדיק, שימיות שאינן חוטב ומקם אנצות כולן, שלא יתדעו מעט תאבות העולם. He says, it's impossible to be different. You can be the most pious person in the world. And even though you don't transgress, and you're doing all the mitzvot, you're perfect. But at the end of the day, everyone has their desires. It's not possible to live in this world and not be tainted by the materialistic desires. And those desires get in the way of connecting to one's Creator. At the end of the day, Chazal say, every time a person pursues the materialistic world, they're creating blocks, fences that prevent them from connecting to their Creator. There can be the highest level tzaddik, maybe he can be there. Even though a person's a tzaddik and he's doing the mitzvot and he's not doing anything wrong, and the only issue is that every so often he gets drawn by the physical world and that stands in his way of connecting to the Creator. You're not going to call him a sinner. He hasn't transgressed. We don't say Yoshua was like the moon. Moshe was like the sun. So Yoshua transgressed because he didn't reach Moshe's level. No, you don't say that. Yoshua was amazing. Just because he didn't reach a higher level, that doesn't mean he wasn't amazing. And this, says the Ran, is why Hashem sometimes gives tzaddikim different forms of suffering, even though they did nothing wrong. Because it is an impetus for growth. A person through that distances himself even more from the materialistic world. And this puts a person on a track where he is not attracted to the world at all. He says, this is my interpretation, but Ramban has a different interpretation. I don't want to make it tedious on everyone to go into Ramban's interpretation. So this is the concept the Ran is developing. We grow to a certain level. And if we don't have the drive, if we don't have the challenges, we don't grow beyond that. And we can reach a level of piety that's at a certain level. But we don't grow beyond that. And the challenges of life, the suffering of life, is not always a punishment. Sometimes it's a means, the only means for growth. If I took the Ran through Medrash, so Chazal say that Matzlef lakesef, v'chul azahav, v'ish lefi ma'alalo, you have different cauldrons to purify different types of gold and silver and human beings. And so the Medrash says the patriarchs and the matriarchs, the avot and the imahot, they had different periods that they were barren. And they were given those periods in order to grow, in order to grow close to Hashem, in order to pray. Meaning, had Avram and Sarah had a child at age 35 or at age 25, they would not have reached where Avram and Sarah were supposed to reach. That challenge of living to the age of 90, for Sarah not to have a child, Meitzara come close to Hashem on a different level. When a person doesn't have a child, then they say, I'm not interested in the physical world. It doesn't interest me. I have a higher goal, there are things I want, and those things will help me develop. We don't want these challenges. We say, God, give me the easy street. Yeah, who wants the challenges? Who wants the hardships? And sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're great, and you could be so much better. Yes?
You said the reason why the 90 years, so that she didn't have a want for the material world, but wasn't it those 90 years of suffering because she wanted the material world?
No, it wasn't a punishment. We view it as Hashem gives us the suffering because we've done something wrong. And sometimes Hashem says, no, I want you to do what's right. And on your own, you might never come to realize that. How many people found themselves fired from a job and only then did they develop their potential? They wouldn't have chosen that. It's very difficult, but yeah, you're forced to suddenly, you're forced to grow. Yes?
The outgrowth of that, I think, healthy needs to be, because there's some people who get broken by the suffering. So Hashem gives me the child, I think Adam or not, with the goal that it's good for you. And then if you don't make it, okay, that's a tough question. I mean, you know, mental hospitals are full of people who
So there are multiple questions there, though.
Yeah.
The we don't know which challenge is a product of what. Meaning, the Gemara gave us a very personal formula for a person to figure out what's going on with him. There are other aspects to the answer. I don't want to go there. It's
But even the punishment for something mundane wrong should be correction. Shouldn't just be suffering.
Right, that he discussed.
Right.
But a person still has the free will to say, what God? What does God have to do with my suffering? Vani Omer continues the Ran and says, Shema Shevticha Torah, Shatshuva Mekubelet Afilu Mitoch Tzara. That when the Torah promises us that tshuva is not only if a person comes to realization this is right out of the goodness of their heart, but even if a person has his problems, and that's why he does tshuva. His tshuva is not because he sat there and he said, gee, I really have to be better, but rather he said, gee, life is really tough. I'm not happy with where I am. If I want God to be better to me, I better be better about myself. Moshe Ticha Vamra. You see, the Torah says, the Torah promises, when you'll be afflicted and all the curses that the Torah threatens will come up, after those days, you will return to Hashem and listen to His commandments. For Hashem is merciful. He won't turn His back on you. So then, you should understand it the way I've explained. That when afflictions come, they allow us to overcome our weaknesses. At those moments, a person can attain clarity that he doesn't have when things are going smoothly.
I don't understand what moments you're referring to.
A person's Shmoneh Esrei is different when they're sitting next to a hospital bed of a loved one than their Shmoneh Esrei when they're not. Suddenly, all the distractions don't exist. The only thing that exists is his tefillah. Suddenly, he's talking to God on a totally different level. So, the Ran says, my interpretation, says the Ran, is that the afflictions help us realize our true connection to Hashem because suddenly other things are unimportant.
But then are we only supposed to recognize that connection to Hashem when there are afflictions and therefore we have to go through afflictions? Or are we supposed to have that recognition all the time and then afflictions are something that serve a different function or just something that exists in this life, take it or leave it?
Well, the question is, can you get there without it?
That's the question.
So I think the assumption is you could. If a person would be less lazy, then a person would be in a different place.
So then are there other functions that afflictions come to serve? Or are they just a part of life that...
No, no. He said
lazy, they help us connect to God.
So that's what we learned earlier, that there are different types of afflictions, and there are those that are punishment, and there are those that help us grow, and he discussed many different types of suffering. Now he's coming to where you're okay, you're a good person, you're not transgressing. Why do good people suffer? So the Talmud gave us a few answers, and then the Talmud says, and after all of those, it could also be just to help you grow. So he says, what does that mean? Why? How does it help me grow? And he explains that sometimes you're doing everything right, but you're still tainted. A person is still finding himself with difficulty to connect to his Creator. And when suddenly he's in a foxhole, so then he doesn't have that difficulty. Yes?
I remember I don't know if it was this sefer, but we reviewed, there was an idea in Gemara that said there were three reactions to suffering.
Yeah.
I remember the two were Aaron was silent and David HaMelech was thankful. And what was the first one?
Eov yelled.
What was his reaction?
He cried, he yelled, he argued.
But they were all praiseworthy?
They're all much bigger than we are, but Chazal said that Eov, on the one hand, did not react appropriately. On the other hand, he isn't taken to task over it because he was suffering. You don't hold a person to task over what comes out of their mouth when they're being tortured to death. Just a second,
So we didn't need it. Hashem would be before us always. You know, hell, try and get there. But we know, we're warned that that's not the general natural way. You know, everybody, even in the non-Jewish world, you know, the no-guided foxholes that you just alluded to, and in Shemot, be careful when you wax fat, you're going to think you did it on your own. The joke with the parking space, I don't think you got it. It's all over. Kohelis ends that way, kind of, you know, in a certain way. You know, you could have, you know, I had everything, but there was still a lack. Thank God, that lack was suffering. Otherwise, you never would have got to the end. So, you know, it's seemingly a piece of this, but it triggers all these other things, because it just rings very true.
This might be a little off topic, but that was, what do you mean Eov yells? I mean, we were talking about yesterday when you said my leg's going to break, and then his leg broke. Eov has a lot of claims. A lot of, it seems like coming from an emotion.